Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for this morning, to bring your people together, to remember how you have come to die for us, to be crucified, and to be buried, and to be buried and to be resurrected, so that we too may be united with you, crucified, buried, and resurrected, so that we might live in the newness of life for your glory. And to this end, Lord, we come together on Sundays, Sunday mornings or afternoon. Christian believers, your people everywhere, Lord, we come to declare that you are a risen Lord who is alive today, our Savior, our Lord, who is our shepherd. So, Lord, we want to remember as we worship that you are also in the midst of us, or where two or three come together in my name, you are here in the midst of us. And so, Lord, indeed, you call us to meet together for your church, ecclesia, the called out ones, right, to come to enjoy your presence. So, Lord, would you bless our worship? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. There was a little confusion this morning. I forgot to inform the Korean church that we're going to be meeting here in the morning. And so when we suddenly came crossing their, you know, worship time, they were kind of surprised. Where is all these people coming from? So they kind of still sees this time as a kind of a unofficial meeting. They do have people coming, but they want to keep it low key. And so next week, I'm not sure if we'll have it in the morning. I have to talk to them. So if not, we'll go back to the afternoon. But when we do move, we should be moving on the side, not through the main hallway. Okay. It's all good. The Lord is good. He's our Savior. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Actually, today, I was trying to take a break from Jehovah. Not that Jehovah is, we should take a break from Jehovah. God is, the Lord is great. But I was especially encouraged going through this week from Habakkuk once again. The passage that I always enjoyed ever since I was a young college student. For the people, as in chapter 3, verse 17, it says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, though the yields of the olives should fail, and the field produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stall, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like a hind's feet, and makes me walk on my high place. And so this always had been an encouragement to me. And so I said, you know, this is an encouraging passage. I think I want to go revisit Habakkuk again. So, but in the process, I realized Habakkuk is declaring that the Lord is my strength and my salvation. And so actually there is a Jehovah name for that. Jehovah Uzi refers to the Lord my strength, the Lord my strength. It comes from Psalms 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in him, I am helped. Therefore my heart exults, and with the song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Saving defense to his anointed. So Jehovah Uzi, the Lord is my strength, comes from Psalms 28. So it worked out that I probably wouldn't want to just speak on Psalms 28, 7 and 7 through 8. But it's good that it kind of matched up with my meditation in Habakkuk. Habakkuk really is describing the Lord God as my strength and salvation. That's why he says, though the fig tree should not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail and the field produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, there be no cattle in the stall. Yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on high places. If you just meditate on this passage alone, it's a tremendous encouragement. Tremendous encouragement. But really, what I wanted to do is speak from the context of Habakkuk, how God is our strength and salvation. So, this Habakkuk was written around the time of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was preaching, repent, the Lord is going to bring an imminent judgment to bring the fierce enemy from afar, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and God is going to judge. And yet people didn't listen, but Habakkuk was there. So for Jeremiah, he's speaking on God's behalf to declare, repent. You need to turn from your ways. But somehow Habakkuk, he doesn't speak on God's behalf to the people, but he is just kind of lamenting what's going on in Judah. Why are these terrible things happening? And he's not speaking to the people to say, why are you being wicked? But he's actually turning to God and saying, God, there's so much violence and wickedness. Why are you letting this happen? It's kind of like him going through his struggle of all these things are happening, but why are you letting it happen? Why I wanted to speak about this is somewhat how I feel these days. If you guys been looking at my post, I'm lamenting. And, why are people not taking hydroxychloroquine? People are dying. And why are these people unjustly, detracting from the gift that God has given us to be healed from? So, you know how I got into this, right? God acquainted me to abendazole that healed my facial pain. But it turned out that when I brought something from China on November 23rd, I'm still waiting for the antibody test. I took an antibody test. I'm waiting for it. It's supposed to be here. It should have been here on Wednesday, but they didn't do it yet. So I caught something from China, and when I also took abendazole, and my mom got some kind of a coronavirus kind of thing, and then I gave her abendazole, she got healed. My sister took it and she got healed. So I'm pretty sure about abendazole. It helps heal whatever the body ache and pneumonia symptoms. And so I'm pretty convinced about abendazole. But then President Trump brought out the medicine hydroxychloroquine, and I found out that it's the same anti-protozoal medicine, and there's many other kinds, but it seems like most anti-protozoal medicine has some helpful effect about this. I'm pretty sure, I'm convinced. That's why I'm kind of like risking my reputation to write all these things down in the Facebook. Why did I ever make such a statements in Facebook? No, this is rare, and I'm doing this because I'm totally convinced. And finding out more and more that this is true. I'm going to graduate after I share this personal testimony on my next post in Facebook, because many more health workers and doctors, they know it works, but there's there's some evil intent of suppressing the benefit of this medicine. So I'm really upset. This is injustice. There's corruption going on. I thought only, you know, I know that China, they have a habit of taking down opposing posts on the internet. They could take it down. You know what Korea is doing too? Korea, the government is now a socialist government. And so any Christian opposition to communism in Korea, they're taking all the posts down. Even yesterday, they're arresting this pastor who's declaring the truth, and they came to arrest him. Thousands of Christians got together in the center of city, and they arrested him. And while he was taking them, the congregation member refused to let him be taken, and the police ran over a person, and a person died. Now that came out in the YouTube post, but the government is so much in control, none of that is out in the media. And so there's like injustice going on, but I thought that was China and Korea, but there's like posts being taken off here in the States. People who doesn't want certain posts, they just take it off. I don't know how they do it, but they can take it off. There is definitely injustice going on. And now that's just me. That's just my, you know, frustration. But here for Habakkuk, you come to the first chapter. He starts off lamenting, you know, lamenting. So what is the word that you use, Jeremy? Ranting? Ranting, okay. So you could call it, biblical expression is lamenting, but, you know, people might call it ranting. You know, ranting. So I even said that to myself about my own post. I feel like a Habakkuk ranting, you know, but actually is lamenting. He is really sad because in chapter 1, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look upon wickedness? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists, contention arises. Therefore the law is ignored, justice never upheld. The wicked surround the righteous, justice comes out perverted. This is what's going on because of the sin of Judah, sin of Israel, plus Judah's Israel already had been deported. Now this is Judah. And he's seeing the law is ignored. God's word is ignored. And there's violence, injustice. Justice comes out perverted. Wicked surrounds. So he is emotionally upset. I mean, he is sad, but upset. He's lamenting because these things are going on. God is not glorified. He is sad, but he's upset. And instead of telling the people about this, he's saying to God, why do you allow this to happen, God? And he says this twice. And then God responds twice. And then for the third time, he offers up a prayer to God. So this is his first lamenting or ranting, you might say. And so he is saying, why are you letting this happen, God? And God responds for the first time, you know, look among the nations and observe. Be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. So when we think God is absent, God is not doing anything about my situation or our society even, God, first thing God says, I am doing something in your days. God is never absent. God is never unaware of what's going on in my life and a life around. So even right now, our situation with coronavirus and all the uncomfortable things we're doing, and now these kind of like a dispute between the state and the church. You know, I think most churches have been quite submissive, actually. Even I made a post about, Pastor John MacArthur's church, and everybody's really upset that they're praising God and with so many people packed. But, you know, they actually just only met about 3 weeks ago. I was reading somebody's post saying, John MacArthur's church, why are you not meeting? You should meet on Sunday. So there's other people criticizing him. You should meet on Sunday. And then John said, you know, unless the church is targeted, I don't think we should fight back. He specifically said, unless the church is being targeted, then we should submit to the authority. And so he didn't meet until late July. That was like about 3 weeks ago. And now he meets, and then people are complaining, why are you meeting with so many people? But, I'm just amazed that all the church people are willing to come out in packs. They need to solve it. So people are upset that they came in droves, you know, everybody came. But I think give them some time, let them figure it out. You know, don't be critical about it. We should be just amazed that they're willing to protect the Sunday, and now they're fighting for Sunday worship, which most church are. And we, in fact, we've been, quietly defying, right? I mean, we're too small for them to find us, right? But we are in agreement. So these things are happening, and it's out of ordinary. This is doesn't happen normally, but it's happening. Well, we need to understand, because I am doing something in your day. God is definitely doing something. But in Habakkuk's days, even because of the wickedness of his people in Judah, God allowed them to express the full extent of their iniquities, wickedness, idolatry, violence, perversing justice. You know, God allowed that, but God said, this is what's gonna happen. I'm doing something. And you would not believe if you were told, it says. I'm doing something, you would not believe it if you were told. Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, the fierce, impetuous people, march through the earth. He's saying, because of the sin of Judah, I'm going to raise up the Chaldean. Actually, the Chaldeans were the Chaldeans. Actually, Nebuchadnezzar was a Chaldean. Know that? And Nebuchadnezzar conquered the capital of Assyria. You know what the capital of Assyria was? Nineveh. You know how Jonah went there, right? Amos went there too. And the capital of Assyria was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. So this Chaldean, God is going to raise up Nebuchadnezzar and Babylonians to come, and fierce, impetuous people march throughout the earth, seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded, feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Horses are swifter than leopards, keener than wolves in evening. Horsemen galloping, horsemen from afar. Flying like the eagle swooping down, all of them come for violence. Mocking kings, rulers laugh at every fortress. And so God describes, it's okay, Habakkuk. I understand your lament. You know, God, in his wrath, he is about to bring down the judgment, therefore. I'm raising up the Chaldeans. I'm raising up the Chaldeans. So when God says God's discipline and punishment will come from the Chaldeans, then here's Habakkuk's second response. He says in verse 12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord God, my Holy One? We will not die. O Lord, have appointed them to judge. You are a rock. You have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. Prove evil. So he goes on. So basically you say, God, it's good that you're a just God and you're bringing a judgment for your people for their evil and wickedness and injustice. But how can you use the Chaldean? They're the most like unjust and wicked and terrible enemy of the earth. You are too holy, God. You're too pure. How can a holy God use wicked people to punish? Yeah, you know, I guess God could do that. God is sovereign. He's sovereign over good people. He's sovereign over bad people. If discipline, judgment needs to come to good people or bad people, he could use good people or bad people for that. So then Habakkuk was pretty self-righteous in chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand on guard post. I will station myself in the rampart. It's like when there's a wall in a fortress. There's like, yeah, it's in the Great Wall. You know, Great Wall where they, once in a while, they have this little post, right? So there's housing place, right? That's what he's saying. So I'm going to stand myself in the guard post, the rampart. Keep watch to see if he will speak to me and how I may reply when I'm reproved. He assumed God is going to rebuke him. And he said, I'm just going to stand in the rampart. I know I'm going to be rebuked, but I'm going to wait there and see how I'm going to respond to God. And so God answers on the second time. So God answers. The Lord, verse 2, the Lord answered to me and said, record this vision. Inscribe it on the tablet that the one who reads it may run. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it was certainly coming. It would not delay. And so, interestingly, his response was first, he says, record this vision. Inscribe it on a tablet. And I was thinking about why didn't he just talk to him? Why did he make him, inscribing is chiseling on a tablet. It takes a long time to chisel a word. You know, when we're riled up, when we're emotionally upset, we can't think clearly. I think what God was trying to do, he was trying to calm him down. Okay? Calm down, Habakkuk. Calm down. Chisel some word. These are things that's going to happen. While you're chiseling the word, see what you're feeling and thinking. Calm down. So, you know, when I wrote the post about, you know, what I am with Pastor John MacArthur, I would say I'm in solidarity. I got these massive posts from my past disciples saying, what do you mean, Pastor Min? Don't you see what they're doing? And I had to do a kind of really mini response until he wrote me on the side saying, you can erase it. If that was disrespectful. Sorry, I erased it. It was pretty disrespectful. But I could see some emotion in these people. There's some emotion. I wish they were that emotional about hydroxychloroquine. But they're pretty emotional about mask and social distancing. That'll save some lives. But I would say hydroxychloroquine will save more lives. But they're pretty emotional. That's what I would say. Calm down. Don't judge too quickly. Let's pray. Give time for Race Community Church to figure out how they want to do the same. You know. So, but somehow that's what I feel is here. Yeah, Habakkuk was just all riled up. And even at what God said, God is going to use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to come and judge the church, judge the his people in Judah. God said, record this vision, inscribe it on a tablet. And then he addresses his issue. He does rebuke him. Verse 4 says, behold, as for the proud one, as for the proud one, verse 4, chapter 2, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Righteous will live by his faith. So after he slows him down, he says, as for the proud one. And it could be, actually, it could be referring to the Chaldeans, the proud one. Or I think it could be also referring to Habakkuk. You know, it's either. It could be both. But you know, as for the proud one, I believe it's for Habakkuk because it says his soul is not right with it. It's great that he felt like lamenting and upset about the injustice and the wickedness that's happening, but he's blaming God. Why are you letting this happen? He's accusing God that he is not just. He is, you know, not caring. He is, you know, uninvolved. Why are you letting these things happen? So, but he says, your soul is not right within you. And so that's what happens. When we're going through some, you know, terrible situation, bad to worse, our attitude can be pretty bad. Our attitude could be, you know, complaining, accusing God, and, you know, it could be pretty bad. But God says, your soul is not right within you, but the righteous will live by faith. Righteous will live by faith. So anyway, I went off in the expositing the whole book here, but I do have points. So how do we experience the Lord, my strength and my salvation? I just wanted to give a background, but I ended up doing all this. But in order to have the right attitude, in order to have the right attitude in the midst of, you know, wicked times, trouble and fear, God calls the righteous to live by faith. God calls the righteous to live by faith. Again, behold, the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. You know, this is quoted by Apostle Paul in Romans. Romans theme, the whole Romans 16 chapter theme is what? Righteous will live by faith. But the righteous will live by faith. So, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, that the righteous man shall live by faith. Romans 1, 17. And he goes on talking about, because of the sins of men, God's wrath came upon mankind as a judgment. But the righteous will live by faith. Even if wickedness and sin happens, even the judgment comes, the righteousness, you know, the righteous man shall live by faith. And Habakkuk 1:12 and 13. To live by faith, not blame God. Are you not from everlasting? So he knows that God is everlasting. My God, my Holy One, he knows God is holy. We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge. You know, will we die? But you appointed the Chaldeans to judge. You, O Rock, have established them to correct the Chaldeans. Your eyes are too pure. God, your eyes are too pure. You couldn't be using the Chaldeans. You cannot look at wickedness with favor. Can you look at Chaldeans with favor? So he knew God, but he was limited because he didn't really fully believe God. He partially believed God, but he didn't fully believe God. his soul was troubled. He was proud in him. So faith in what? Faith in that God is truly just. In the midst of injustice and wickedness, even if these people try to cover up the hydroxychloroquine and people are dying, you know, recently another article came out. Okay, you know, I'm interjecting my sentiment right here. Is that recently an article from Brazil came out against hydroxychloroquine. It says it has absolutely no benefit. And, you know, I looked at some of the comments behind this new post they came out just recently. And then there's people saying, liar. This article should be called da 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 da. And there was a post by this nurse, you know, frontline nurse. And she said, because of Governor so-and-so of New Jersey, people are dying. When first wave of coronavirus patients came in, because of the first emergency permission of hydroxychloroquine, they gave everybody who came into the hospital hydroxychloroquine. And none of the patients went into the ventilators. But suddenly, the governor said, no more hydroxychloroquine, because they took away the emergency thing. Or I don't know what way, but yeah. But once they took away the hydroxychloroquine, the patients are not getting healed, and they were all going on a ventilator, and at the end of the ventilator, they were dying. And so this is a nurse who's been treating with the hydroxychloroquine and then had to stop. They couldn't administer this medicine. And she wrote it in bold letters, all capital. And I kind of checked her out, and she actually has even a video declaring that this is injustice. But even if such injustices happen, am I going to blame a God? Why are you such a holy God? Why are you letting these things happen? I mean, I'm frustrated. Habakkuk is frustrated. But God is calling him to fully have faith in me. I am a just God, and I trust God is just. I trust that he is going to bring compensation, recompense, or whatever that is due those people who are committing injustice. God is just. That's my consolation. God is sovereign. He's in control. You know, he's reigning over the universe, even over good people or bad people. And God has a plan to accomplish his justice, even using the evil people. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the wicked people will be allowed to punish those who are wicked. But you know what God is saying here? Don't worry. I'm going to punish them too. That's his second response. You're proud within you. You need to be living by faith. But the wolves in rest of the chapter 2, woe are these people who get rich on loans, and woe to this evil people who get evil gain, put their nest on high places, devise shameful things, and evil people who build their city with bloodshed. Woe is you who will... neighbors drink mixed with venom and take advantage of them. Woe to them who makes a piece of wood and say awake, you know, making idols. God says, I will use the Chaldeans, but I will punish them too. I will discipline that. I will bring judgment upon that too. So, in order for us to enjoy God's strength and salvation, God wants us to know he calls us to righteous. He calls the righteous to faith, living by faith. We need to continue to trust in God, hope in God that he is a just God. He's a sovereign God. He reigns. He has a plan. He has a plan. That we would never sidetrack from that understanding of who God is. And this is overshadowing the rest of the point. Second point is that God's purpose is to fill the earth with the glory of God. Verse 14, in the midst of these wolves, this is one of those verses that jumps out of the context, but still related to context, but still jumps out of the context. That's how I'll read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Go ahead.
For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea.
Okay. So, in the midst of these wolves against the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, he stops and says, these people who take advantage, you know, build city on bloodshed, worships idols that cannot talk, you know, take advantage of neighbors, referring to other nations, actually. He stops and says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, glory of the Lord, as the water covers the earth. How much does the water cover the earth? Probably the majority. And even the continent are covered with water when it rains. And there's streams, there's rivers. And the point is, the water covering earth is pretty much a majority. And God is saying the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It says here, you know, I am doing something in your days. I'm doing something in your days. What is he doing? He's trying to make the knowledge of his glory be known to the nations. So in spite of his judgment to the the Judeans. Remember, if you look at the next section, is a exit. We talked about Ezekiel. It says one of the promises in Ezekiel 33 is, "I will make the land a desolation and a waste. Make the land desolation and waste because of their abomination, which they have committed." Then they will know that I'm the Lord. The Lord is saying, I'm going to bring desolation to my own land, and Israel, Judah, will fall. Even the temple was destroyed to let them know that I'm the Lord. How do you know God is the Lord? Because God prophesied it through Jeremiah and Habakkuk. The ends are going to come. The end is coming. So as prophesied, the end has come, so that they will know that I am the Lord. Why is God going to discipline the Babylonians so that they will know that I am the Lord? You know, how did God discipline Nebuchadnezzar? He kind of gave him he lost his mind. Mental confusion. He thought he was a cow. He moved and ate off of the grass of the field for 7 years. I thought it was three, but actually seven. 7 years he was mooing like a cow, and then when he looked up at the sky, then senses, that his mind came back. And God restored him. And after that, he says, truly, you are the everlasting God of Judah. God of Israel is the true God. He found out that God is true God. And then Pharaoh, in Exodus 14:4, thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord. You know, this is right before the Egyptians were about to cross the Red Sea. And God said, I will make Pharaoh's heart harden, and him and his soldiers are going to come chasing after him. And then he parted the sea. And then they went across. They went across. And then they were covered. The Egyptian army was covered, destroyed. And it says, I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord. Why did God even destroy the Egyptians in his way with plagues and all those things? And then finally the Red Sea collapsed so that they would know that God is God. Hopefully the best way to enjoy God's glory is by obedience and worship, true worship. But when there's a sin going on and people are hardened and they refuse to see God as God, God is going to bring the discipline and the judgment and the wrath. So that at the end of that, all will know that the Lord is God. So we kind of think, well, God is not doing anything right now. Oh, I can just continue to sin. I can do whatever I want to do. But, yeah, you have that freedom to sin or not sin until that time when the Lord will bring the judgment. And for Habakkuk here, God is saying that there's a clear time when God is going to bring the Chaldeans. He knew this is going to happen. He became a man of faith. And he understood after God's response in this way, you know, God's purpose is to fill the earth with his glory. Through disciplining the Judah, through disciplining the Babylonians, God wants to reveal himself and show himself to be the true God so all people will worship him and be blessed. This is the faith that Habakkuk needed to humble himself, to believe that God is just, he's sovereign. He wants to fill the earth with his knowledge. And he does that by using the Chaldeans, so be it. And other verses here in the Psalms, it says, cease striving and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And the next verse, Proverbs verse says, the Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the days of evil. God uses even wicked for the days of evil for his purpose. He made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for the days of evil. So, and then at the end of chapter 20, God closes that chapter after the wolves, that God is going to destroy the Babylonians for their wickedness. And then he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before. You just need to believe God is God. God is in his holy temple in the heaven, seeing all the things that's going on in earth, sees the wickedness and the good. He's sovereignly in control. His purpose is very clear. He could use even the wicked for the day of evil. But the goal is that he wants to reveal, fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God, so that God would be seen and worshiped, and so that people may be blessed. So, because God is God in his holy temple. Yes, you can lament for the injustice, the wickedness. I mean, I would like to see some people lament these days. I was lamenting because for a period of time, we couldn't meet on Sunday. I lamented. No, we need to obey God meeting on Sunday. And finally, you know, I was encouraged by other 120 churches who says, we're going to worship anyway. So it was not only me, but it's other people who were also saying, we're going to meet. So, and we have to lament about these injustices happening. I mean, I think Inner Varsity is really into what is that? Trafficking, is that right? Sex trafficking. And that's really sad, but there are some people really, really lamenting it, giving their lives to that kind of ministry. Well, my lamenting these days is hydroxychloroquine. Without it, it's killing people, and I'm lamenting because so many people are, more people are dying without it. And there's other things you should lament about in this world. That's the wickedness and injustice. You need to care. We should care to at least lament about it. But also be humble. Also be humble. And believe in God. Trust in God that He is in control. You know, and He wants to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. And so I could be silent. I'm going to trust the Lord. He's in holy temple. He has His perfect plan laid out. I just need to be silent. Even my lamenting, I should make that too loud. If God is going to bring justice in His way, in His time. And so, thirdly, we need to, as righteous people, we need to live by faith. Faith in God, that He knows. He's in control. He's just. He's going to take care of it. However He does it, He's going to take care of it. And His goal, we need to believe His goal is to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. We also need to know that God is my strength and salvation. He's my strength and salvation in times of trouble. What is it? Jehovah Uzi. He's my strength. There's a word for salvation, but I didn't want to use it yet. So the Lord, we need to know that the Lord is my strength and salvation in times of trouble. So when these troubles happen, already by choosing to have faith in God, already acknowledging that God is working, He's doing something. He's doing something to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. He's doing something. Even acknowledging that, it should settle us down. Give us a sense that God is control. But you know what? He also wants to save us from that, you know, hardship. I talked about tribulation, that Christians will go through tribulation. And I need to prepare you to persevere through tribulation, not renouncing your faith. Through tribulation, we need to understand that God is our salvation. He will hold us up when we're weak, when we trust in Him. When we trust in ourselves, that's the thing we need to learn. We need to get rid of trusting myself. Because trusting yourself is rejecting God. You can't experience His strength and salvation rejecting God. So for Habakkuk, at the end of all this, he says, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He has my feet like hinds' feet. Makes me walk on high places. You know the context of this? We read it. Read the previous verse. Chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read that together. He said this right after this passage. He said it right after this passage. Chapter 3, 16. Ready? Yes, said go.
Heard and my inward
hearts trembled. Okay, ready? Get set? Go.
I heard and my inward hearts trembled. Decay entered to my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade.
So he accepted what God's judgment will be for Judah. That the Babylonians fierce warriors and people killers to come. He accepted that judgment, and he says, I heard what God said. My inward part is trembling. He was trembling. The Babylonians are coming. Fierce people, they knew. At the sound of the lips, at the sound, my lips quiver. Have you guys quiver your lips? I did in the middle of Bishkek, not Bishkek, Physical lake. It was so cold. My lips was uncontrollably quivering. But that was because I was cold. But apparently there's quivering when you're in fear and terror. Uncontrollable quivering of your mouth. So hearing this, Habakkuk trembled, his lips quivered, his decay entered his bones. He feels like the bone is just decaying. The bone is decaying because of the fear and the terror that he felt. And in my place, I tremble because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to rise who will invade us. Babylonians were to invade. He knew very clearly what God was saying. He's going to bring the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to invade Judah. So he was saying this in the light of such terror and fear. What we're experiencing is not that much. Okay, coronavirus. Probably most of the young people will pass by. Old people, maybe it's more of a risk. You know, some discomfort about not being able to do things. So it's not as of a big deal. But you know, Revelation says, for Matthew 24, that's where I'm basing my interpretation. Tribulation will come, and then the great tribulation will come, and then will be the rapture. So sometimes in the middle of the tribulation, God will spare us, but tribulation will come. Now, when that happens, can we trust God to be our strength and salvation? Well, this is what that is. The extent, the attitude that Habakkuk was taking was in the light of imminent destruction and invasion by Babylonia. And then he says, he knew that when that happens, though the fig tree should not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine because of the invasion. Yields of olives should fail. The field produces no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold because they'll probably be stolen. There'll be no cattle in the stall. Even though the invasion come and this terrible thing comes, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. We are about to do a study on joy of salvation. Habakkuk is choosing, in spite of these terrible plight that I am foreseeing, I will exult. The Lord will be my exaltation. I will be lifted up because of the Lord and his salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Because he is my strength, he has made my feet like a hind's feet. So, you know, hind's feet of a, what is it, ram, goats. I was never a shepherd, so I don't really know, but I could imagine. I did see a video of these goats climbing the high mountains. It's amazing. It's a cliff, but they're climbing the cliff. As long as there's a kind of a stepping area, the little hoof, if there's a stepping area, they could use that to climb up the cliff. And they're pretty, when in the middle of the cliff, they stop. They're taking a break. Why? Because they're close. You know, when they're on just a little bit of a level ground, they're solid. You know, sometimes in life, God makes us walk on high places. I'm not sure if you guys like high places. You know, you go to like Grand Canyon, you kind of go to the cliff, and you kind of like, you could drop. But when you get, even though there's a bar, it's like, there's some like nervousness from your stomach and your leg starts to shake a little bit. So when you're in high places, like not secure and your whole body fears. Sometimes in life that will happen. Sometimes like terrible things that happen, it feels like a high place. Something worse, you feel like something worse might happen. But if you rejoice in the Lord God, my salvation, and trust that he's my strength, he makes your hind feet secure. Just like those lab, as long as you have a little bit of place to put your, Jesus, the salvation and strength is your footing. And you can be secure, you can be secure. Does that make sense? Habakkuk 3, it says, when for, if you look at 13, is another kind of a deliverance passage there. You went forth for salvation, 3:13, you went forth for salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck down the head of the house of evil. So God, when those terrible seasons come, I don't know if the coronavirus will get worse or better and what will happen thereafter. We don't know. But we know the tribulation is coming. When those things happen, God is still our strength and our salvation. And he wants to save us. He went forth to, for the salvation of your people, the salvation of your anointed. Finally, Jesus is my strength and my salvation in times of weakness. Christology here, Christology, allusion to Christ, allusion to Christ, may be considered, even in verse 14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. You know, the knowledge of the glory of God is revealed in Christ. Knowledge of the glory of God is revealed in Christ. So we have some Christological allusion in chapter 14, verse 14. 3:2 says, Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear. It says, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In your wrath, remember mercy. In your wrath. You know, this is a request of Habakkuk, a prayer, that God would revive his work in the midst of the years and remember, in the midst of wrath, remember mercy. In the midst of wrath in Romans, what was the mercy? Christ. Romans talks about, because of sins of man, wrath of God came, but the righteous will live by faith. The mercy was Christ. So there's an allusion to that. And once again, in chapter 3:13 again, you went forth for the salvation of your people. So this is regarding his people, not only the Old Testament people, allusion to the New Testament people, church, the church. For your salvation, for the salvation of your anointed, anointed. The anointed could refer to the Old Testament people. It could also refer to David, the anointed. And the future anointed, it could also refer to the future Messiah. God will go forth in the midst of whatever the history. Now, this symbolism of Babylon is, Judah and Babylon is a symbolism of all time. Especially Judah refers symbolism of church. Church could be in sin. I mean, the Chaldeans, they're foreign people, they are obviously in sin. But in the midst of that, God is working to bring salvation to his people through his anointed. So even in this latter time, we have the church, but we have a Babylonia. There's some people, there's some evil, wicked, you know, forces who will be bringing in the tribulation. In the midst of that, God wants to save us. But this is a promise for even the tribulation time. Of course, if you look at verse 18, yet I will exult in the Lord. The joy of my salvation is in Jesus Christ, the joy of salvation. For God, for them, it was God, but his ultimate salvation is through Jesus Christ. The Lord, my salvation. He made my hind feet walk on high places. So there's an allusion to Christ. Colossians 4:16 says, approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you will receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Right? Acts 4:12, there's no salvation in any other name beside Christ, right? Philippians 1:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So he is our strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9, you know, but
my grace is
sufficient for you in the midst of weakness. My power is made perfect. In the midst of weakness, in the midst of difficult times, his grace is enough. His grace, his power, is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
So Habakkuk is for the context of the Jewish people at that time, but it's a reflection of us and also the Babylon that will come in tribulation. In the midst of all this, God is my strength, my salvation, in times of weakness and in distress. And again, this is a book about how to have a good attitude, keeping my eyes on God. That's right. Father, we thank you, God, for your word that is so alive and penetrating and touching our deepest parts of our soul and comforting us. Lord, in spite of all that is happening around us today with the virus and the difficulty with the state and the church and just the different injustice that's happening all around, we lament. But we don't want to doubt you, God. We believe you are just. You're sovereign. You have a plan to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. And therefore, Lord, we will exult in you. For you, in you there is a joy of salvation. And you are the strength of our inward parts. So we want to put our hopes, keep our eyes on you. Lord, in the midst of difficult times and trials, you help us to have a heart of a righteous man who would live by faith. And in this right heart attitude, that we would find rest for our souls. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.